message this morning is entitled Taking the Biblical Tradition Forward. Taking the Biblical Tradition Forward. Are we a traditional church? Are we a traditional church? This morning I thought quite a bit. So I come up with an answer. The answer is yes and no. The answer is yes and no. We are a traditional church in the sense that we follow the right biblical tradition. Listen to that carefully. We are a traditional church because we follow the right biblical tradition. And you know what does it mean by tradition? Tradition means that which has been set, prepared by the forefathers. So the forefathers, by the guidance of God, by the guidance of the Holy Ghost, set forth a right biblical tradition. And we follow that tradition. So that way, we are a traditional church. Then what do I mean by no? We are not a traditional church as the way some people think. What do I mean by that? Being a traditional church, we don't follow the man-made wrong traditions. We don't follow the man-made wrong traditions. So now, when you talk about tradition, when we talk about tradition, it is how do we look into the tradition? What are the traditions you're talking about? For that reason, any church today, when we look into a church that follows the rightful biblical teachings, that's a traditional church. But there are many churches who have shunned that path. And they call themselves traditional churches. Covenant is not a traditional church that way if you follow wrong traditions. Now, by the way, this is what the Bible says. Bible talks about both the rightful tradition and the wrong traditions, and warns the church against the corrupt traditions of men. The Bible calls us to follow the true tradition, the rightful traditions. Let me just highlight those passages we read. Few. Listen, Jeremiah 6:16. The Lord says, "Stand you in the way and see and ask for the old paths." The old paths. What are those old paths? The paths that our forefathers, by the guidance of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the revelation of God, prepared. The Lord tells the house of Israel, you stand in that way. What is that old path? That is the good way. Walk therein, so that you shall find rest for your souls. True true blessedness, true restfulness, true spirituality, true commitment for Jesus Christ, true service for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, come only when we follow the right path, that good old path God has revealed unto our forefathers. They have followed, they have taken care of it, they have practiced it in their lives, they have guarded it against all the contamination, and they have faithfully passed it on to the generations. The Lord reminds the house of Israel against all the wrong interpretations. When we come to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah warns so heavily against the false prophets, false teachings that were so prevalent in those days, and warns the nation Israel against all those things. Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 15 to 17. Because my people has forgotten me, they have burned incense in vanity, burning incense for idols. They became idol worshippers. They have forgotten me. Today, people follow unbiblical traditions because they have forgotten God's revelation, God's teachings. So instead of worshipping the living and true God, Mammon becomes their worship, their idol. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient path. Take note of that. They have stumbled in their ways from the ancient path. That's the old path that we read in the earlier verse. The old path, the ancient path, that is the correct full tradition, that is the biblical tradition. When we come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They have a long list of man-made traditions. Matthew chapter 15, verses 2 to 3. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? The Pharisees and the religious system asked the Lord Jesus Christ, Why, Lord, your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Don't you know that the tradition of the elders need to be followed? For they wash not their hands and they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? So just washing your hands, if that's what just a tradition for you, and you are so concerned that all taking the little things and literalizing it, you call yourself, that is your tradition, and you have forgotten the weightier, the heavier matters of tradition. What is the heavier matters of tradition, my dear friends? What is the heavier matters of tradition? Jesus says here, keeping the commandment of God. Keeping the commandment of God. Now, even when we talk about keeping of the Sabbath, the religious system of Jesus' days took it so literally, and there was They came up with all kinds of laws, thousands and thousands of laws. You cannot own your light. You cannot, you know, lift a weight. You cannot feed your children. No work. Day of rest means, oh, cannot do anything. That was a misunderstanding of the Jewish system. And that became the tradition. That became the tradition. And Jesus said, what is this? You have misunderstood the tradition. The rightful tradition is what? Keeping the commandments of God. So honor the Lord. The Sabbath day means day of rejoicing, day of worship, not a day of literal rest, doing nothing, but a day of rejoicing and serving God, serving God. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, Apostle Paul reminds the church, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware, carefully. That's the negative. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. That's a positive. Brethren, withdraw yourself from those who walk after the tradition of men. That is misrepresentation of God's truth. And follow after the tradition you received of us. The apostolic tradition, the biblical tradition. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes with you to remind you. Nothing new, but just to remind you what is truly the biblical tradition we as a church committed to. What is truly the biblical tradition we as a church committed to? I have 4 points. I have 4 points this morning. Number one, the pure gospel. We received through our forefathers the pure gospel. That is the great tradition, one of the great traditions, one of the great blessings as a church. Today we have the pure gospel. Preach forth that gospel. Apostle Paul explains in Galatians chapter 1 verses 11 to 12. Paul explains in Galatians 1 verses 11 to 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. My friends, we have a gospel. The gospel that we believe, the gospel that you have become a great blessing, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of deliverance, the gospel of eternal hope, on which you and I put our faith and trust and our hold. What is that gospel? What is that gospel? Paul says, it is not a man-made gospel. It is not a church leader-centric gospel. But it is that very gospel I have received directly from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning I want to be so emphatic here. I want to be so emphatic here. A church that needs to be biblical, a church that needs to be traditional in its true sense, in the biblical sense, that church must proclaim forth the real, true, authentic gospel proclaimed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul tells in Romans 1, verses 16 to 17, it is the power of God. The gospel, it is the power of God and the salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know why the need of the 16th century Reformation, this phrase, the just shall live by faith, was taken away from the people, from the church, by the leaders, by the corrupted leaders, by the corrupted system. Martin Luther, the father of 16th century Reformation, was so irked, was so troubled in his heart. How can it be? We earn salvation by giving offering to church? We earn salvation by doing good works? That was the corrupt practice. People's mind was so much affected. For the church, for the established church in those days, that became the teaching of the gospel. That became their gospel. Martin Luther stood up, questioned, and he came up with the right understanding of these words, as Paul recorded here for us. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You don't need to do anything to be declared righteous. Jesus has done it on the cross. Praise God. Jesus has done it on the cross. And cross is the merit that Jesus has done. Of course, all through his life, he has proved it. And so that, as Paul recorded, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith and faith alone. Thank God, this morning as we gather together, we don't bring any sheep or we don't bring anything. We don't do any sacrifice here. We simply come, clinging on to the cross of our Savior. Clinging on to the cross of our Savior, my dear friends. He has done it for us. Not a price, not a penny, not a paise I bring thee before, O Lord, this morning. But I simply cling on to the cross. The just shall live by faith. The pure gospel. How many churches today preach that pure gospel? Oh, I pray all our churches should preach this pure gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is the purity of the gospel. Number two, move on. The second tradition that we highlight from the word of the Lord. A truly biblically traditional church promote the pure word of God. A truly biblically traditional church not only preach the pure gospel, but that church also promote the pure word. Pure word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17, Apostle Paul recorded it for us. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have the 66 books of the Bible. Nothing less, nothing more. Only 66. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We equally regard both the Testaments. Without the Old Testament, there is no New Testament, please. Both are important for us. Equal regard we give. All scriptures, 66 books of the Bible, the inspired apostle recorded for us. All scriptures, that's the Old Testament canon and the New Testament canon, 39 and 27, right? Given by the inspiration of God. God breathed out. God's breath, not man-made. God used men as instruments by the power of God. Holy Ghost, hovered, is the word used, over the prophets, over the apostles, as they wrote down the words of God. The scripture that we hold, the 66 books, not works of men. God's Holy Ghost worked in and through godly men. All scripture is given by the breath of God, so that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished into all good works. We don't need to go to any other place. We don't need to go to any person to have the revelation of God. My dear friends, stick on to the word, God's word, the Bible that you hold in your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Do you know how many men gave their lives? Just a few weeks ago, we had the birthday of William Tyndale. William Tyndale, who was martyred because he translated the Bible into the English language. How many people gave their lives to promote the pure word of God? Today we so conveniently hold both the Old Testament and the New Testament in our hands. We praise God for that. But make sure we believe that scripture, we call it, is sufficient for our faith, all that we believe, and for our practice, all that we practice in the church. Our communion service, our baptism, our wedding, our birthday celebrations, or whatever, even the administration of the church here as a local congregation. Oh, my dear friends, it's according to the word of God. Our worship service, why this is not a man-made, hysterical service? Why not your pastor jump around and bring so many youngsters here and dance and clothes on or clothes off or whatever, little clothes or more clothes or whatever? You don't go for any nonsense. Fearfully, reverentially, with all humility, we handle the things of God in His church. Because we promote the pure word of God. protecting the truth of God. Nothing less, nothing more. Number three. A traditional church, a biblically traditional church, provide the pure witness means we practice the truth. We provide the pure witness. We practice the truth. Apostle Paul again says in Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, I beseech you, brethren, therefore by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We provide godly witness, pure witness. Bible is not to be kept in a shelf. Bible is to handle. Bible is to study. Bible is for us to understand the principles of God. And then we bear witness for the truth. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. Oh, you have seen how I have explained, Paul says to the Romans, how I have explained all the treasures of God in His Word, the doctrine of salvation. And finally, when he comes to the applicational part of Romans 12, I now encourage you, my brothers and sisters, you offer your bodies, you consecrate your bodies, yourself, to live according to the truth of God. Today, the greatest challenge you and I face is this. The greatest challenge today you and I face is this. We have been meditating for our Bible study, Friday Bible study, from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Today people say, oh, we have all kinds of freedom. We have license to do whatever we want. Because Jesus has died for us on the cross and paid the price. Forgiveness granted. We have the license. Paul there very clearly tells the Corinthian church, your license, your liberty is not to do whatever you want. Not to follow the pattern of the society. But what does the word of the Lord say? That which is edifying, that which is beneficial, that which is according to the truth of God. So, Paul very vehemently told the Corinthians, flee from sexual sins, flee from fornication, flee from adultery, flee from all the pornographic sites outside there, the internet over there, so free, anybody can access, no age bar. Today the generation has been spoiled, one generation has been spoiled. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. How we can be protected? That huge deception the devil brings in to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, if you're truly a biblical church, pure witness, earnest desire, pastors, for elders, for deacons, for our Sunday school teachers, those who are singing in the choir, please, sir, so important. Only those who are called and handle themselves according to the biblical patterns. They come forward to serve the Lord. That's a prayer. Because if you are a biblical church, you have to make sure the word of God is practiced. You are the pure witness. Practice the truth. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, I pray that the Lord would help us as a church. Finally, the fourth thing, and that's more of an applicational point, but that also very vital. Not only we proclaim the gospel, the pure gospel, promote the pure word, provide the pure witness. We are a biblical church. We preserve the pure tradition. We preserve the pure tradition. We pass on the truth. We pass on the truth. Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses. Now listen to this. The same, not an iota of change. The same. This is so emphatic. The same in quality. The same in quantity. The same in authority. The same in purity. The same in glory. Commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My dear brothers and sisters, that is another endeavor we as a church are committed. That is another endeavor we as a church are committed. Whatever we have received, we thank God for this biblical tradition, as I have explained. Pure gospel, preserving the pure word and protecting it, and then practicing it. Oh, what a blessed tradition. What a blessed tradition. Biblical tradition. What do we do with the tradition? What do we do with the tradition? Paul says here, the same. Commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Dear brothers and sisters, we are eternally grateful that we have God's word and truth. Now, we pray that what the Lord has been preserved for us for centuries, for millenniums, God has preserved it unadulterated, uncompromisingly. And that's where men and women gave their lives to make it, to preserve it, to protect it unadulterated, without watering it down. We thank God for our pulpits. We thank God for our churches. Even today, this 21st century, October 25th, the year of the Lord, that we are able to proclaim not a man-made tradition, not a man-made gospel. Praise God, the pure truth of God. As much as the Lord has convinced my heart over the years, we thank God for godly men who stand together with us. This truth that we proclaim from our pulpits, we don't say 100%. We are closer to the truth. Praise God. 100% we have in the Bible. Please don't misunderstand me. 100%, this is 100% true. No error. But our understanding may not be 100%. But we want to acknowledge, we want to thank God. We want to thank God over the years as we have spent time and time and time to learn God's word and study it and discuss with the people and going through the teachings of our forefathers. We can so honestly declare we're closer to the truth. Closer to the truth. Praise God. For which we are not proud of, but we humble ourselves before the Lord. We humble ourselves before the Lord. And so what do we do with that? What do we do that with that? Pass on the torch. Pass on the truth. Pass on this pure tradition. As Paul does it so with the young man Timothy. And the things that you have heard of me, Timothy, among many witnesses, so not Paul alone, not Timothy alone, among many witnesses, that's godly men. Godly men. We have a company of godly men. It is not just one man's message. Gospel is not one man's message. Of course, it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave to the Old Testament, the prophets, the New Testament, the apostles, then the company of godly men all through the history of the Old Testament and the New Testament church. And today we are just a dot. We are just a dot in that eternal plan of God. Please remember, you and I are just a dot of that eternal plan of God. But we are so thrilled. We are so thrilled that we got the truth. Praise God. We got the truth. The gospel truth. We got it. Praise God for that. For which we humble before God. And it's my prayer, as I always emphasize from this pulpit, that we pass on this pure tradition to our children, children's children, God willing, as he delays his coming, we do not know when, but until the Lord returns. So gear up, my dear friends, gear up. The ministry does not end here. The ministry does not end here. More and more dots and dots and dots need to be added to this eternal plan. Until the Lord says, this is it. I am ready to come and take my church home. We do not know when, but he will come. Until then, the work continues. The work continues. Last Thursday we had the session meeting. I reminded the session. From the word. As the prophet encouraged David encouraged his son Solomon, rise up and do. Solomon, as your father, I have done the work that I supposed to do. And we know David was a godly man. Last week we meditated on David's life. Was a godly man, God's chosen person. And he worked so hard. And when the time has come for him to go and to be with the Lord, David told his son Solomon, now it is your turn. I have done so faithfully. David was not perfect, but he had a heart after God's own heart. So faithfully, so earnestly, so enthusiastically, David did the work of God. And when the time came for him to pass on, he told his son, now it is your turn. You take it forward. We have the biblical tradition, thank God. And this tradition need to be taken forward, my dear friends. The pure gospel, the pure word, the pure witness. Now let us pass on. As long as the Lord gives us the life, for you and I, let us be faithful to this truth. And that's what as a church that we have to do. As this Reformation Sunday of 2020, this is, by the way, 503 altogether today, 503rd year of Reformation. We thank God for Martin Luther. We thank God for the great company of men together with him worked, labored so earnestly. Thank God for the churches who followed in 17th century, 18th century. Great reformations happened all through, not only in Europe. It started, of course, in Germany, and from there to many parts of Europe, and then to America, and from there to different parts of the world. We know William Carey. He was also a son of Reformation, by the way. William Carey came to India, established his mission center in Calcutta. We are today the sons and daughters of Reformation. There is nothing new in Reformation. Please don't misunderstand. What Reformation accomplished for us is just they brought the church that was off track. The established church of 16th century was off track. They went off the track of the gospel truth. God raised this men to bring the church back into the track. That only they have done. Nothing new, please. And so we want to be thankful for the Lord that today, as we have the truth, as our forefathers, all through the centuries it happened. In the Old Testament it happened. In the New Testament it happened. All through the centuries it happened. God, when things go wrong, God raised up men and women to bring the church back into the track. That's why Hezekiah's reformation in the Old Testament, Josiah's reformation in the Old Testament. When we come to the period of the apostles, great reformation from the Judaism, from the Phariseeism, from the Sadduceeism to bring the church into the right track. And the mission continues. The reformers were only a small dot, as I mentioned earlier. And today we are part of that dot. The reformation should continue through us. The reformation must continue through us. We should not allow corruption to happen in the church. You might have read or heard just the other day, beginning of last week, one of the established churches today saying homosexuality, no problem. You heard me correctly? One of the established churches today, the biggest church today, telling homosexuals, no problem, they are also fellow brothers and sisters. For homosexuality, lesbianism, no problem. You also should bring them and love them, and don't scold them. Don't tell them, you should love them and encourage them. Come to the church and we will conduct homosexual marriages, lesbian marriages, and everything is fine. Corruptions. Let this reformation should continue to carry, for which you and I have a great responsibility. We as a church, it's is very much committed the Reformation to continue, So the church would continue to stand on the truth. What is the truth? John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This is the biblical tradition. This is the biblical tradition. That is the true Reformation. That has been the endeavor all through centuries. The Old Testament, the New Testament, and the history of the church. To make sure churches would stand on this truth, this track. A Christ-centered tradition. A Bible-based tradition. A kingdom-oriented tradition. And in that, what was the ultimate motto? Transforming the lives of men and women in accordance with the truth of God. And accordingly, glorify the name of God. This is the wonderful tradition. This is the wonderful motto. Would you take it into your heart this morning, my dear brother, my dear sister? Would you stand on this tradition? Don't go after the rudiments of men and all the wrong traditions. If any wrong tradition happens in your church, wherever you are, stand up. Question. As Martin Luther did so courageously. Don't say never mind. And that is where you and I are responsible for the purity. If something goes wrong at covenant, you should have the boldness to stand up and say, oh, pastor, this is not according to the Bible. This is the purity of the gospel. Purity of the word of God. It's the responsibility of all of us. Make sure this pureness is experienced in our lives. Pure witness. And finally, we pass on to the generations to come, shall we pray.